My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Welcome into what is the last edition of the Character Concerns podcast before the 2024 NFL Draft. I am Chris Unocero, joined by my guy, Jay Binkley. Bink, man. But when this comes out, it'll be 2 days until draft, the first day of the NFL Draft.
Here's the finish line, man. We did our 32-team mock draft. Before, we've heard from Brett Veach talking and actually saying a lot of the same things.
There's a lot of stuff that Veach said.
We've been saying, we found out how many first-round grades he had on players. We'll get into that as well. But, yeah, I'll be at the Landing in Liberty for a broadcast Thursday night. Hope you're there. The 610 crew is going to be there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And fill out your brackets, or not your brackets, but your picks. Selections for maybe a chance to win $610,
some Chiefs autograph merchandise. You can do that, I believe, online at 610sports.com. You can also do it in person at the Landing up in Liberty, where we will be at on Thursday night for the first round of the NFL Draft. So we'd appreciate if you came out there and see all the people there from 610. We'll be doing our broadcast live from there. And again, we put out our submission into the contest last week on the Character Concerns podcast, so you can listen to that if you want to hear where we are, and maybe copy us so that you can match us in having the best mock draft for the first round.
And if you're the Royals play in the afternoon on Friday as well, so we have 5+ hours of coverage for you Friday night. We'll tell you who the Chiefs pick and all about them, and got some special things lined up for some of the players that are selected. And, of course, you and I, Saturday morning for 4 hours, right on 610 Sports Radio. And in 2.5 hours, kind of a wrap-up on Sunday, which is always fun when you kind of look back at all the picks that were made by the Chiefs and others. And that's when the draft grades will be flying out, and which I think are ridiculous. You can't grade drafts until
it's hard. You can put some preliminary grades on them, but it's really hard to like be able to really give an accurate grade until a year or two after the draft. So,
like the Mahomes C+s and
right,
stuff.
Yeah. Like, you know, the grades don't really matter that much, but it'll still be interesting. It'll be a lot of fun to see.
The one that kills me most is the one from NFL.com, the Big Game Hunter. You got to be careful. Well, he is a big game.
Well, yeah, he
goes out and wins big
games. He still is a big. But like,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah,
as a quarterback, that's what you want.
Yeah, so it is. That'll be a really interesting and fun part about this whole deal. So yeah, make sure you stay tuned with us all weekend long. We got you covered. Best draft coverage you're gonna be able to hear on the radio. So we appreciate you guys listening to us. We will do our final Chiefs mock draft here later on in the show, but want to start with our reaction to Brett Veach's pre-draft press conference that he did. We aired that live on 610 Sports last week, and I thought it was really eye-opening. It confirmed some things that we've kind of been speculating about this for months now. And then there's also some kind of interesting avenues it opens up. So really, I want to tackle this in like three different parts. The first part was mainly talking about draft strategy, moving up, how they see the board, things like that. The first thing that was talked about was them prioritizing bringing back defensive players in free agency. We saw that. They signed 5 defensive tackles to contracts this offseason. Drew Tranquil got extended. He re-signed with the team on a 3-year deal. They really stressed bringing back a lot of the guys that they had on their roster from the last year or two on defense.
Going for the three-peat with the guys that were the number 2 ranked scoring defense in the NFL.
Number 2 total defense in the NFL.
And I get it when a GM speaks. Listen, this is the silly season. We know there's a lot of smoke screens involved with anything. But Brett Veach has given you a nugget each and every year, like the hot zone a couple years ago, and that's where he – in the second and third rounds, where he got Bolton out of the fact that you could draft a running back late a couple years ago, and you never know what you can get. Isaiah Pacheco was grabbed out of there. He talked about some of the frustrations sometimes in with some of the numbers at certain teams' pro days.
So they were asked about. He was asked about considering moving up in that top 10, top 15 part of the first round, and you know he said that they've talked about it. They need approval from Clark Hunt, which we obviously know. Like, they've talked about it before. Need approval to trade first-round
picks. Sure, we
need, Brett. They also consider this a deeper wide receiver class, which we've talked about. There's a pocket in the top 50 picks, and then there's a pocket right after that as well. So, could be trade back. Could trade back out of the first round if they really like a guy who has a second round grade. Cornerback is a middle to late draft position. Offensive line, really good early, and then it kind of tails off pretty quickly. Though middle late, there are some pockets where they could target a guy. Linebacker, running back, not very strong classes this year. So, like I said, and we talked about this right before the show. It seems to me like they could be in play to trade down if they need to. But right now, it seems like wide receiver's the big target, offensive line, unless they trade up really high because a guy falls. They could very well trade up and go get that tackle, but otherwise, probably not going to go get that. And then corner, probably not going to be a major priority in the first round.
You and I had him trading up to get wide receiver A.D. Mitchell. Right. In our 32 with the Cardinals at 23, because we had the Cardinals trading up with the Vikings. It is interesting that the Cards, the Packers, and the Rams all have 11 picks in this year's draft. They can really do some rebuilding on their team, having all that. But 33 through 39, very, very promising to trade back in that second round or trade up in the second round. Because to me, you're looking at Carolina at 33, 39. That's a team that might be willing to pat the Patriots sitting there at 34. They've had a history of trading the New England Patriots.
Yeah. Another interesting thing they were asked about was about the prospect of trading. First off, you know, he talked about kind of the pre-draft process of getting to, you know, communicate with other teams about potential trades. Basically, they call every other team in the league because they get a list of numbers that they get for each general manager. They call all those numbers, and then they will kind of go through and kind of, you know, they'll do a little bit talking on, you know, what would be the value for certain picks and whatnot to kind of test the waters and see where they need to move up. They said that all teams are always willing to trade with them. It's just a matter of the benefits of trading up with them. Basically, it's about asking price.
And they might have to pay a tax.
They're going to have to pay the Super Bowl tax if they want to move and like trade with a team in the AFC or especially the AFC West. Those were the situations he brought up.
Other GMs don't want to hear that. You did what with the Chiefs?
Right. He says like, yeah, all the teams are willing to do deals with them for the most part. It's just a matter of who you moving up to get and also how much they're going to have to pay to move up there, which, you know, they said probably going to be higher if it's an AFC team or an AFC West team. They said Rashee Rice's situation has not affected their draft strategy, which I think we're in agreement on. Yeah. Their big position targets, guard center depth, left tackle competition, a wide receiver, and cornerback and safety depth. They have 16 to 18 first-round graded players. 4 to 5 of those are quarterbacks. They think that there's a lot of good depth in the second and third round, so they may not trade up in favor of kind of accumulating players in those rounds. They have 221 players on their board. 6th and 7th rounders left undrafted are priority undrafted free agents. Day three guys this year, much older than in previous years. We talked about this before with Jim Nagy. Younger prospects are staying due to NIL, so expect a big drop-off on day three. And we talked about this during the Senior Bowl back in January, that there's probably going to be a pretty big drop-off there on day three, and he kind of corroborates that.
Yeah, Jim Nagy was kind of worried about rounds 5 through 7. And guys are staying. I mean, Neil has changed the game. Guys are staying. I think eventually that does help the NFL. The guys are staying there, and you get those 20 starts, you know, in college, and more apt to be NFL players without the, quote, redshirt year.
Right. I think so, too. I think it is good for the league. It's just there's going to be an adjustment period, I think, because you've got a lot more older players who are going later. So it means that they have less time to develop because they're probably getting into their athletic peak by the time they're still learning. So if you're at your athletic peak and you haven't peaked as far as your technique goes, as far as learning goes, then you're kind of wasting years of your prime. So that's kind of bad as far as player development goes for day three guys. So
no, 100%. You got to be worried about that. And the player development, I mean, the Chiefs, they're in a position now like the Steelers were in the Patriots, man. You're drafted, you play. Like, they expect you to go out there and perform right away.
Yeah, and that was one of the big...
You were B.J. Thompson, you have red shirts once in a while, but the majority of guys will be...
And that was one of the things that Veach kind of talked about was like, you know, hey, we want to go and get guys who we think could potentially play very early in their careers. Like, I think we both agree on this. The Chiefs aren't really that type of team that's going to draft a guy and then sit him for a year.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I thought they drafted for necessity. Last year was more of luxury.
Yeah.
This is kind of a combo between them both.
I think it's more mostly luxury, but I do think there are some needs that you have. But the needs that they really have are more depth than they are.
I think the first round, that's why I want wide receivers so bad, because I do think you'll get more run from a receiver in the first round this year than you will an offensive lineman.
I think so too. I just think there's more value there, especially considering the way the board is right now. You're going to get way more value for a receiver than you are for a tackle. And then the final part of it, you know, he talks about, and this kind of got around and people got a little worried. He was mainly talking about like guys on the team right now. He was asked, you know, about the receiving room, and he specifically brought up Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. He said he thinks that KT is still their most talented wideout. Yeah. He also gave Sky a lot of praise too. He said for Toney it was more about injuries than anything, but he thinks if he gets healthy, then you know he'll be able to be a contributor.
You say these things for possible trades.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're not going to put anybody down on your team.
I don't think they smoke screened a lot in this.
Yeah, you don't want to put anybody down.
But that 100%, I think, was a smoke screen.
You always want to be happy with everybody you got.
Yeah, you're not going to go out there. Yeah, he's trash.
Yeah, hey, you know that hurt car in my driveway. I mean, it sometimes runs.
Yeah, it's a it piece runs of all trash. The time. Like, no, I 100% think that he was trying to go out there and say the right things.
Yeah,
but like, I mean, he's not going to go out and tell us that a player on the team is bad, because that's just not something a good general manager does. But I do think that was interesting, and I think people got a little bit too up in arms about that, because the alternative was something that would be very unprofessional for a general manager to be like, he sucks, you know.
So like, I can hear that.
Yeah, I can't imagine them saying that. And then he did go in depth on Wanye Morris. Basically, you know, some good, some bad with Wanye, but they were happy with his development throughout the preseason process and then in season. He said Wanye's got a solid foundation that can be built on, but he should be prepared to compete for the starting left tackle job.
Played four games as a rookie, which doesn't always happen.
He said, to me, this came off as it's more about Wanye continuing to improve than just getting comfy being the starting left tackle. They don't want his development to stop because he's got that job. But, you know, you kind of look at it. And another thing they were asked about was like flexibility at different positions, mainly about the tackle position. And they kind of talked about how they do like guys who can swing to either side, which obviously makes sense with them drafting Wanye, because he was a guy that played on both sides.
Arms.
Yeah, they like the fact that he could play on either.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
On either side of the line at tackle when he was in college, to me, this was more reaffirming that they, unless like an Olu Fashanu falls to like 23 or something, they're probably not going to be super aggressive at going and getting a tackle.
Well, I thought it was pretty telling when he said 16 and 18 first-round grades. And that includes four to five
quarterbacks.
So that means essentially, 12 to 13 actual players.
Probably somewhere like 12 to 14
and
actual
last year, people were talking, 12 to 15 in Kansas City.
Right.
The year before, they had around 20, 21 when they got Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie started to slide. It's the guy they had a first-round grade on. They said, hey, we got to move up and get him. But I thought that was pretty telling when he gave certain guys first-round grades. But that's the way the NFL is. They view everybody, in the 20s or whatever as essentially second-round picks.
Yeah, like I said, I think that this is definitely, I think it confirmed a lot of stuff that we thought. Like I said, I think people were overblowing the whole Kadarius Toney Sky Moore thing. If they really thought that, he was the most talented receiver, they wouldn't have signed Hollywood Brown and they wouldn't be in the business in the market for getting another wide receiver. So I'm not sure I'm buying the whole talk about, these still our most talented. And not only that, but he said talented. He didn't say he was our best wide receiver, which talent denotes, okay, he's got the ability to be great, but
he's a first-round pick. He's his talent.
We know he's talented, but it doesn't matter if you don't put in the work to get better and you can't stay on the field because you're always hurt. So, like I said, I think people kind of overblew that part of the whole situation, and I think that it was a more benign comment than what people thought it was.
Sure.
All right, so let's move over to our final Chiefs mock draft before the NFL draft. We'll try to keep this one pretty simple, pretty easy. I do think we should do trades.
I just did one right before this.
Yeah, I think at this point now we gotta make sure that we try to make it as realistic as possible. So first off, I think the big thing we got to do is we got to make the trade that I think we both think is going to happen, which is the Vikings move up to 4.
Okay.
So in that case, we did this last week. We had the Vikings moving up to 4. They traded 11 and 23 away to the Cardinals. So if you're cool with that,
we're going to try to get 23 back from the Cards.
We'll try to get 23 back from the Cards. All right. So Cards there.
Hopefully they're going to listen.
Yeah.
We would
appreciate it if they did. They're not in the same conference.
Take the phone call. Yeah.
They're not in the same conference. So it would make a lot of sense. Let's see. Will it make us let us make?
I wonder what Buffalo's doing. Keep your eye on Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, Buffalo is.
They're sitting at 28, and we probably want the same guys: A.D. Mitchell and Brian Thomas.
Okay, so it's not letting me make that trade because I picked the Chiefs as our team. So I'm just going to pick 23 with the Vikings, and we will make that pick there. So Vikings pick 23. We're at agreeance. This is a trade that happens. Okay, so
we're staying with the same mock that we did for moving down.
Okay,
so I believe they will trade down.
All right. So We just got pick 23 for the Kansas City Chiefs. Vikings at 32. Again, I think this will be the Cardinals making the pick at 32. But let's start this draft. You get the pick here in round one.
Is this going to screw us up with the other picks?
No, I didn't move any other picks.
Okay.
I didn't move any other picks.
So this is the Chiefs getting 23.
This is the Chiefs getting 23. I don't think it's going to cost them
nearly
as much.
You have to move me back real quick. I'm sorry. I screwed it up. Screwed up your tablet.
All right, here we go. You're good. All right, so it looks like here we've got Jerzon Newton is on the board. We've got Amarius Mims on the board. We've got A.D. Mitchell on the board.
So we got some options here. Sitting there. Brian Thomas, I assume, is gone.
Yeah, he has to be gone at this point.
Where did he go? He went to the Colts.
Colts at 15. Interesting. That's interesting, yeah.
Interesting, interesting. I'm going to stay with who we did the first time, Chris, because I like A.D. Mitchell there.
Okay.
So I'm going to draft if you're okay with that.
I'm agreeance. Cool. I like AD there.
So we're in agreement on AD Mitchell to the Chiefs at 23. It's what we had last time.
But I will say this.
If Brian Thomas is available, hey.
I'd love that.
But realistically, he's not, and that's good.
So the interesting thing about this. So, yeah, Brian Thomas went 15. At pick 15. Brock Bowers went pick 10 to the Jets.
Okay, I figured Jets, that's pretty accurate. Jets or Broncos.
We have heard some rumbling.
Where'd Marvin Harrison go?
Marvin Harrison went 9 to the Bears.
Oh, wow.
Which I'm shocked by.
He didn't go now. Oh,
they have Malik Nabers going 4th overall. But again, we did not facilitate the trade there. I don't think Malik Nabers is going 4 overall. I think that's probably J.J.
Who's selecting the Vikings?
In this case, since we didn't facilitate the trade with the Cardinals and Vikings, it was the Cardinals that took them.
Okay.
I think if the Cardinals decide to keep that pick and were to go with Harrison or Nabers, I think they go Harrison. Okay. I don't think they go Nabers. I think the whole Nabers over Harrison thing is like, you know, like stat bros, like, oh man, he's a tick faster. We don't know the 40 time of Marvin Harrison. Like, yeah, speed isn't the only thing that makes you a good wide receiver. So now we're at pick 64.
And essentially moving down there would cost you the first round at 184, a third rounder, and probably a fourth rounder.
Yeah.
With the pick swap.
Yeah, it would.
To get that, it could be about 252, something like that, trade points. And it's 254, I think, to get, or 245, excuse me. It'd be 242, but 245 is the actual number you need to get to.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think they'd have to trade a first to get to 23, but they would. If they were to get up into like the teens or higher, definitely you're moving 32 and next year's first for sure. Which, you know, he talked about. Yeah. You know, Veach talked about. Yeah, we'd have to get permission from Clark Hunt because they need permission to trade first round picks. So here, the guys on the board, you've got Michael Penix Jr., which I don't think he's going to make it to 64.
You're talking eighth pick with the Falcons.
You've got Kieran Amagaji, tackle from Yale.
Now, I like him. I like him. And this is the pick at the end of the second round.
Right. It's 64.
Kieran is a guy that a lot of people like. I like him. He's a guy that I've earmarked.
Our guy Lance mocks him every week. Every time he sends those mocks to us.
So, I did the mock before this exercise, I actually took him in the second round. But it's your pick.
So here's my thing. I'm not too in love with
who's
tackle
the top guard
here.
Is Christian Haynes still there?
Christian Haynes, I think, is the top guard.
It's my guy there. I like him a lot.
And I definitely like him. I don't know if I'm... I don't know if I'm feeling that here. So just to go through the guys that are, you know, the highest ranked, you got Penix Jr., you got Amagaji, you got Christian Haynes, you got Malachi Corley sitting there at 60, which I mean sitting there he's ranked 60. I really like Malachi Corley. He's very interesting. I think this is a great spot for Malachi.
Strong.
Very strong. He reminds me a lot of Rashee Rice. You know, he's more of a bigger guy that is a catch and run guy. He's big. He's violent when he has the ball in his hand. So that would be really interesting.
But that'd be two receivers, your top two picks.
Right. Yeah. So like that is the concern there. Tez Walker is still on the board. But again, two wide receivers, first two rounds. You know. It to me at this point, I think I'm going to go Christian Haynes, just because I think you want to get your future you know, a future starting guard on your team. I've said this before, and the Chiefs have kind of acknowledged it. Veach acknowledged it last week.
I like him and Curran.
Either
one. Yeah, Christian Haynes, last time we did this.
Right, yeah. Yep. Last time we did it, we took him there. And again, the Chiefs acknowledge they need some guard center depth.
Best guard on the board.
And I think he's the best guard out there. So I'm going to go Christian Haynes guard out of UConn as the pick 64, round two. So now we got round three, pick 95.
Huh.
So the guys on the board here, we've got Ray Davis, guy that I like. We've got Kyrie Jackson, corner from Oregon. Jeremiah Trotter Jr., linebacker, Clemson.
I already know where I'm going.
I know you're going to. You're going Benson at tight end?
I'm going Benson because I consider him the second best tight end in this draft. Raw athletic score was off the chart. When he led tight ends in broad jump, vertical. Benson, if he's available this late, and I think he's a second rounder, I take Benson at 100%. I jump with that card up there.
Yeah, I like that pick in round three. He is my second favorite tight end outside of Brock Bowers here. I know you'll get some people on Cade Stover and guys like that. I'm a huge fan of what Sennett does. I think he can line up anywhere you like, and I think he gives you a lot of value.
Man, box so far, man.
Yeah, I like this box a lot. And I think we've hit on some important positions
there. I like this.
We've talked about how we think they both need at least two pass catchers in this draft class. They need at least one guard in this draft class. Probably get another tackle, too.
I think three pass catchers with the combination of one tight end, two receivers.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that ratio there. But I definitely think you got to get a guard just for future. Sure. Just you don't have to worry about it next year getting two. I think, obviously, receiver. And then after that, if there's a tackle that you like that you feel like could give you some depth, you do that. But the board has to fall that way. And so now we're at round four, pick 131. The top options, you got Braylon Allen, running back from Wisconsin. You got Cole Bishop, safety, Utah. They did bring up safety as a potential option. This would be about the time they could go safety.
Is your guy Garindo still there?
I'm looking here. I don't see him. I don't see. I would love Garindo to be there. I don't think he is. So looking at it, we've got Braylon Allen, we got Cole Bishop, we got Jordan McGee, linebacker, Temple. Jarvis Brownlee Jr., corner, Louisville. That's the only Louisville up there, only Louisville player up there. Where did Garindo go? I'm not seeing him. He might still be on the board, actually. Let's look at running back. He is still on
the board. I know where you're going.
So I'm looking at the rank here. He's rank 183.
I mean, it's a tad early, but it guarantees you getting the player you want, and that's ultimately the most important.
But the question is, like, could we get him later?
Like, if I could get him with the next pick.
Yeah, if you could get him with the next pick. Because we're at 131 right now. Schrader is on the board. Garindo is on the board. You know, I almost want to chance it and say...
You just don't want to lose your guy.
Yeah. I almost want to chance it and be like, screw it. I'll wait until next round. We've got 159 and 173 are the two picks in the fifth round.
Yeah, 173 is that comp pick.
Correct, yeah. So, you know, I almost want to not go there. Not go Garindo here. Let's look at tackle. So, and I see a guy I like at tackle. Pick 159 here in the fourth round. There's a guy I like. I thought he looked really good at the Senior Bowl. At the combine, didn't quite test as athletic as you'd like, but I like this kid, Christian Jones, tackle out of Texas. Looked really strong. He looked like he kind of filled that role. Like, at the very minimum, I think he's a good replacement level tackle. I think he probably is more geared towards the right side than the left side. So if you're looking for left tackle depth, maybe that isn't your thing. Maybe he doesn't really quite fit. And you look at him, he played only right tackle in his career. Actually, no, that's not true.
Arms 34 and a half, so it kind of fits the profile of what they'd have. 6'5", right about 300 pounds, a little bit undersized.
Yeah, a little bit undersized, but, you know, he's got, you look at his, he did play left tackle. In 21, he played 688 snaps at left tackle. In 22, 876 at right. 23, 904 at right.
They're kind of thinking more right side with him, though.
I think more right side, too. Like, I don't think he's a left tackle.
That's a right round. Fifth round's about where he goes.
I think fourth round, you take him, and I think because he played at left in 21, he has the potential to be a swing guy. Again, we talked about it.
Fourth or fifth round.
Veach talked about the versatility, and we know that. We already knew that beforehand because they really only seem to draft guys that can play on either side. Eric Fisher, you know, we obviously saw that there with, I mean, they thought they were getting that with Juwan Taylor. Didn't quite work out. Wenye Morris, they did. I'm going to go Christian Jones, tackle Texas in the fourth round here, pick 159. I just think that's a good
fourth
spot
round. That's 131.
Oh.
Should be 131 to round four.
Oh, yeah, 131.
Right. I have 159. Right. So we 159 have to hope there, yeah. 28 spots later that our guy Garindo will still be there.
I mean, I love Garindo. I really, but I was like, if I could get him later, I'll take the chance and get him later.
You know what? Garindo's there. Kamani Vidal is there, the nation's leading rusher. Cody Schrader is
That's
still
tough.
There.
And That's
I,
tough.
I know all three of those That's guys tough, I really man. Like. But
so I will say this. I'm not the biggest fan of Vidal. So I wouldn't take him there, but Schrader and Garindo, I'm a huge fan of both of them. I think Garindo gives you more upside, but I think Schrader's a safer player because I think he showcased his skills a lot more when he was at Mizzou. So I'm cool with either.
With that speed of Garindo, man.
The speed of Garindo is the thing because he's massive. He's 6 foot. About 220, 215, 220, and he runs 4.33.
Well, I did the pick, and I picked Garindo. Because that was the guy we were waiting on. We were hoping he'd still be there.
Yeah.
And he was, so I jumped all over that.
Yeah, to me, that's if you could get him round five, because for a while it looked like he was going to be a round four guy. You get him round five, that's a dream scenario to me. So now round five, pick 173, the second to last pick that the Chiefs have in the draft. Because they don't have a sixth rounder. They have the first pick of the seventh round. So now we're kind of looking at the board here. You got Jaden Sheridan, halfback from Monmouth. Jordan Travis still on the board, which I think that's, I wouldn't be shocked if he goes
173.
173. You got Bo Limmer, center from Arkansas. Cody Schrader still on the board. Kalen King, cornerback from Penn State, though I think he's probably going to be a safety.
Kamal Haddon still there, or Quantes Stiggers for corners?
For corners, let's see.
Because I think Stiggers might be the steal of the draft.
So let's see. We got Kalen King. We got Nehemiah Pritchett, Josh Newton, Johnny Dixon, Dwight McLaughlin, Elijah Jones, Ryan Watts. I'm not seeing Stiggers.
So Stiggers is not there.
No, Stiggers is not there.
Where
Kamal,
did he go?
Kamal Haddon is not there.
He's not.
Kamal Haddon got picked the pick before by the Eagles.
Oh.
Let's see where Stiggers went. Let's see.
That's all right, though. We got Garindo. 6 foot, 221.
Yeah. I mean, 4.33.
Runs a nice 4.33.
Yeah. I'm like I said, if we get him fifth round, I'm all for it. Yeah, Stiggers went way early than that. Yeah, he went way early.
I like him a lot. I think he's going to be the steal.
Yeah, though they have Tavondre Sweat falling to the fourth round, which I've seen a lot more mocks having him falling. So I think he might end up being a day three steal if the Chiefs really wanted to get another guy under contract on a rookie contract. I think he'd be a great option there. The guy I'm kind of looking at is Kalen King. I think that Justin Reed's going to be playing his final year in Kansas City. I think we all thought he was probably going to get cut after this year up until this past season when he was really great this year, this past season. And so he definitely played himself into a roster spot for 24. But I don't think he's going to be a long-term option for him. I don't think that, you know, drafting Kalen King is drafting his replacement. I think Chamari Connor is his replacement. But we know that the Chiefs like to run three safeties and, you know, run them in pretty prominent spots. They did not go and get a safety and free agent, a prominent safety and free agency. They brought back Deion Bush, but outside of that, they have not made any big acquisitions for safeties. And Bush is more so a special teamer than he is a safety you want playing back.
King played a lot of corner.
He played a lot of corner, but they think he's going to be a safety.
He could run a 4.61.
Yeah, he's like 4.61, so he's real. He's not super fast.
It's Keon Coleman, right?
Yes, I'm saying. So he's not super fast at all. And so the big thing you were hearing was projections of him being a safety. And I think having a guy like him, really valuable, because you have a corner that has safety a safety that has corner experience, and that makes him good because he can play in the slot, he can play coverage against tight ends, because most of those tight ends are about the same speed as he is. I think Kalen King probably gives you a lot more value than you could probably find anywhere in this round for someone of his position. Let's not forget, going into the year, Kalen King was a fringe first-round corner. Throughout the year, he kind of got exposed a bit, and I think the final touches on his fall from being a first two-day guy to being a third-day guy was his combine performance, when you saw the speed not quite be there. So I'm kind of leaning towards Kalen King here. I think he's a great value here. Looking at everyone else. He's very physical. And again, you like to see that, they like that versatility on the defensive side. Connor's a guy that was safety corner. I like the pick. So I'll go Kalen King. They list him at corner, but I'm gonna say he's a safety out of Penn State at with pick 173 in the fifth round. So now we go to our final pick. Skip through the sixth round, pick 221, first pick of the seventh round. Final pick will be yours, Bink.
Well, the one thing about it is, this is, you would say dart throw, but the thing is, they don't dart throw anybody.
I mean, they do sometimes.
They look for someone that's going to help.
I mean, B.J. Thompson.
I mean, the running back situation is there, but we already went running back.
We already went running back. So really, this is one, and this is the dilemma that the Chiefs are going to be in. Because the Chiefs are going to be in a position where they're going to really try to take someone that they would make a priority undrafted free agent and just be like, hey, we get him. We get 4 years of control over him. We don't have to compete with other teams to get the services of this player. So this is going to be one of those guys that they probably have maybe even a sixth round grade on, and someone who's just kind of fallen. And they think this player might go undrafted, so let's go out and make him a priority guy. So the options are really interesting. We've already hit receiver. We hit tight end, guard, tackle, running back, safety. So if we wanted, if there's a corner there, though the corner class kind of,
it's going for Nazi Johnson type.
Yeah, you're kind of dwindled here pretty late. So the question is, do you want to hit corner? Do you want to hit linebacker? I think we've been pretty balanced with how we've hit it. But I think there's still, one guy like is Gabe Hall, though. I think with six defensive tackles on the roster,
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind going that direction either. I'm just looking at it and who's going to be left in the second round that could, or the seventh round that could actually, be a value to this team.
Right. And I think here, because of what, Nagy and Veach brought up about the value, I don't know if you're going to really be able to find a guy who is going to be a value. I think at this point now, I really think you're probably looking at RAS scores and you're seeing which guys fit the kind of athleticism mold that we have for our positions, especially like corner. Corner is a position for the Chiefs that has a very high athletic threshold for them. And, you look at guys like Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson and Legarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie. They tested really well as far as the athleticism scores go. So, I mean, I think at this point now, you're late to your round seven. You're going for who's the best athlete that we can find out there.
Got one guy that I kind of like. but I kind of hesitant on it. I mean,
Who's that? Are you talking about Lydiatric Griffin?
Yeah, Bub Means was the guy I've been thinking of because he's big.
So Bub Means is 6'2", 215. More of a vertical wide receiver,
which I like. That I like that part about him being a vertical guy.
Did he
run a 4.43 40?
Okay, so yeah, he's
got means 4.43, and he's looking to be a sixth or seventh round pick, maybe undrafted.
This is a redshirt senior from Pitt, and this is a guy who had let's see, he lined up mostly wide. He had 41 catches for 718 yards, 6 touchdowns this past season over at Pitt.
Good yards after catch.
Good yards after catch. So you like the speed profile. You like the size profile there with him being 6'2".
I wasn't able to get my Luke McCaffrey earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that was off the board.
I was going to have to take his seventh.
I was going to have to take him.
The front of the seventh round. I'm going to go Bub Means.
Okay. Wide receiver Bub Means, Pittsburgh. So that completes our final mock draft for the Kansas City Chiefs, 7-round mock draft. And here are the results for our...
Let me take a picture of this before you get rid of it.
Yeah. So at round 1, pick 23, we got A.D. Mitchell. We got an A grade for that. So I think, like I said, I think that was an easy one there. Round 2, pick 64, we got guard Christian Haynes out of UConn. Gave us a B minus for that. I'll take that. Like I said, I think you had to get guard at some point in this draft. But if you're looking second round and they've kind of filled a lot of their needs, I think that's a good spot to take them. Round 3, pick 95, we took Ben Sinnott, tight end, Kansas State. Gave us a C minus for that, but I love the
C minus.
It's because the value. It's because he's not, because they think he's like a fourth or fifth round guy.
Well, he's not.
I think Ben Sinnott is great. I love him. I disagree. Like Thornton Einstrom, we had him on last week. He said he thought he was a mid second. I don't think he's mid second. I think he's probably mid third. Mid to late third. I really like Sinnott though. So I was a huge fan of this. I think he does everything you want out of a tight end. So yeah, I'm cool with that. Round 4, pick 131. You got Christian Jones, tackle from Texas. Again, I think he's more of a right tackle, but he is someone that does have experience playing on the left side. And I certainly think that if they were to get someone like him, they're going to do their absolute damnedest to make sure that they can try him out on that left side and see if he could provide some competition and even be a good backup for Wanye Morris. Plus also because he's more of a right tackle, he could be someone that could step in place of Juwan Taylor should something happen. So I like the versatility he brings. Round 5, pick 159, Isaac Grindo, halfback out of Louisville. It gave us a D minus for that. But I love that pick there. I think if you can get him at 159, that's great, because this was a guy that had a fourth round grade on him for a while. He's my favorite running back in this draft class, and I think there's a lot of untapped potential there. Round 5, pick 173, Kalen King, cornerback, Penn State. I think he's a safety, though. C-plus grade on that. I really like what you can do with Kalen. Again, this is a guy who was an outside corner at Penn State. So he's got some experience there. He's got some experience in the slot. I think he's played a little safety as well. I think the Chiefs like that versatility there. Very similar to Tremari Connor in that, Tremari Connor was a guy who played corner and safety. He's projected more as a safety at the professional level. And we saw that impact when he came in the playoffs and got a lot of playing time when Mike Edwards went out with injury. So, I really like what he brings to the table there. I think you can do a lot with him. And then round 7, pick 221, Bub Means, wide receiver, Pittsburgh, gave us a B for that. So it looks like you got a good grade there at 221. Yeah, I mean, a good big
6'2", 215, yeah, long strider,
good
seventh round pick,
good size, 4.43 speed. You'll take that, man. You'll take a receiver in the seventh round with that kind of size, speed profile, good production there. If you're going to receiver seventh round, you're not looking to draft your next number one receiver. You're looking to just get some depth, and hopefully this guy develops into a productive receiver. with that kind of size, speed profile, he could end up being a Justin Watson type, which, you know, if you can get a Justin Watson type in the seventh round, he could be a contributor down the field. You'll take that. So I like this. It gave us a B- overall for our draft. So, you know, you'll take that. But yeah, I think we did it. This is our final mock draft of the 2024 draft season. And make sure you stick with us this weekend as we go and do our draft coverage here for 610 Sports Radio. We'll be on at 6 o'clock on Thursday for the first round of the draft. We'll be live at the landing up in Liberty. Me, Bink, all the other guys from 610 will be there. We're going to have your draft coverage throughout the entire first round. Then rounds two and three on Friday, we will be back here at the studio and we'll have you covered. So make sure you tune in all Friday night as we get the second day of the draft covered. And then on Saturday, we'll be on from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. for day three of the NFL draft. So we'll have most of day three covered. And then at 9 o'clock on Sunday, from 9 until 11:30, me and Bink will continue the draft coverage. We're going to recap what happened at the NFL draft. And then finally, we'll do a wrap up next Monday. Post that, Newton, Johnny Dixon, Dwight McLaughlin, Elijah Jones, Ryan Watts. I'm not seeing Stiggers. So
Stiggers is not there.
No, Stiggers is not there.
Where
Kamal, Kamal Hayden is not there.
He's not.
Kamal Hayden got picked the pick before by the Eagles.
Oh.
Let's see where Stiggers went. Let's see.
That's all right, though. We got Grindo, 6 foot, 221.
Yeah, I mean, 4.33
speed. Runs a nice 4.33.
Yeah, I'm like I said, if we get him fifth round, I'm all for it. Yeah, Stiggers went way early than that. Yeah, he went way early.
I like him a lot. I think he's going to be the steal.
Yeah, though they have Tavondre Sweat falling to the fourth round, which I've seen a lot more mocks having him falling, so... I think he might end up being a day three steal if the Chiefs really wanted to get another guy under contract on a rookie contract. I think he'd be a great option there. The guy I'm kind of looking at is Kalen King. I think that Justin Reed's going to be playing his final year in Kansas City. I think we all thought he was probably going to get cut after this year up until this past season when he was really great this past season. And so he definitely played himself into a roster spot for 24. But I don't think he's going to be a long-term option for him. I don't think that, you know, drafting Kalen King is drafting his replacement. I think Chamari Connor is his replacement. But we know that the Chiefs like to run three safeties and, you know, run them in pretty prominent spots. They did not go and get a prominent safety in free agency. They brought back Deion Bush, but outside of that, they have not made any big acquisitions for safeties. And Bush is more so a special teamer than he is a safety you want playing back.
King played a lot of corner.
He played a lot of corner, but they think he's going to be a safety.
He did run a 4.61.
Yeah, he was like 4.61, so he's real. He's not super fast.
That's Keon Coleman, right?
Yes, I'm saying. So he's not super fast at all. And so the big thing you were hearing was projections of him being a safety. And I think having a guy like him really valuable because you have a corner that has corner experience, and that makes him good because he can play in the slot. He can play coverage against tight ends because most of those tight ends are about the same speed as he is. I think Kalen King probably gives you a lot more value than, you know, you could probably find anywhere in this round for someone of his position. Let's not forget, going into the year, Kalen King was a fringe first-round corner. Throughout the year, he kind of got exposed a bit, and you know, I think the final touches on his fall from being a first two-day guy to being a third-day guy was his combine performance when you saw the speed not quite be there. So I'm kind of leaning towards Kalen King here. I think he's a great value here. Looking
very
at everyone
physical.
Else. He's very physical. And again, you like to see that, you know, they like that versatility on the defensive side. Connor's a guy that was safety corner. I like the pick. So I'll go Kalen King. They list him at corner, but I'm gonna say he's a safety out of Penn State at with pick 173 in the fifth round. So now we go to our final pick. Skip through the sixth round. Pick 221, first pick of the seventh round. Final pick will be yours, Bink.
Well, the one thing about it is, this is, you would say dart throw, but the thing is, they don't dart throw anybody.
I mean, they do sometimes.
They look for someone that's going to help. Someone that's going to help out.
I mean, B.J. Thompson.
I mean, running back situation is there, but we already went running back.
We already went running back. So really, this is one, and this is the dilemma that the Chiefs are going to be in. Because the Chiefs are going to be in a position where they're going to really try to take someone that they would make a priority undrafted free agent and just be like, hey, we get him. We get 4 years of control over him. We don't have to compete with other teams to, you know, to get the services of this player. So this is going to be one of those guys that they probably have maybe even a sixth round grade on, and someone who's just kind of fallen. And they think this player might go undrafted, so let's go out and make him a priority guy. So the options are really interesting. We've already hit receiver. We hit tight end, guard, tackle, running back, safety. So if we wanted, if there's a corner there, though the corner class kind of
it's going
dwindled.
For Nazi Johnson type.
Yeah, you're kind of dwindled here pretty late. So the question is, do you want to hit corner? Do you want to hit linebacker? I think we've been pretty balanced with how we've hit it. But I think there's still, you know, one guy I like is Gabe Hall, though I think with six defensive tackles on the roster, you know.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind going that direction either. I'm just looking at it and who's going to be left in the second round that could or the seventh round that could actually, you know, be a value to this team.
Right, and I think here, because of what, you know, Nagy and Veach brought up about the value, I don't know if you're going to really be able to find a guy who you know is going to be a value. I think at this point now, I really think you're probably looking at RAS scores, and you're seeing which guys fit the kind of athleticism mold that we have for our positions, you know, especially like corner. Corner is a position for the Chiefs that has a very high athletic threshold for them. And, you know, you look at guys like Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson and Legarius Sneed and Trent McDuffie. They tested really well as far as the athleticism scores go. So, I mean, I think at this point now, you're late to your round seven. You're going for who's the best athlete that we can find out there.
Got one guy that I kind of like, but I'm kind of hesitant on it. I mean,
Who's that? Are you talking about Lydiatric Griffin?
Yeah, Bub Means was the guy I've been thinking of because he's big.
So Bub Means is 6'2", 215. More of a vertical wide receiver,
which I like. That I like that part about him being a vertical guy.
Did he
run a 4.43 40?
Okay, so yeah, he's
got means 4.43, and he's looking to be a sixth or seventh round pick, maybe undrafted.
This is a redshirt senior from Pitt, and this is a guy who had let's see, he lined up mostly wide. He had 41 catches for 718 yards, six touchdowns this past season over at Pitt.
Good yards after catch.
Good yards after catch. So you like the speed profile. You like the size profile there with him being 6'2".
I wasn't
over
able 200. To get my Luke McCaffrey earlier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that was off the board.
I was no going to have to take his seventh.
I was going to have to take
him. The front of the seventh round. I'm going to go Bub Means.
Okay. Wide receiver Bub Means, Pittsburgh. So that completes our final mock draft for the Kansas City Chiefs, seven round mock draft. And here are the results for our.
Let me take a picture of this before you get rid of it.
Yeah. So at round one, pick 23, we got A.D. Mitchell. We got an A grade for that. So I think, like I said, I think that was an easy one there. Round two, pick 64, we got guard Christian Haynes out of UConn. Gave us a B minus for that. I'll take that. Like I said, I think you had to get guard at some point in this draft. But if you can if you're looking second round and they've kind of filled a lot of their needs, I think that that's a good spot to take them. Round three, pick 95, we took Ben Sinnott, tight end, Kansas State. Gave us a C-minus for that, but I love the pick.
C-minus? It's
because of the value. It's because they think he's like a fourth or fifth round guy.
Well, he's not.
I think Ben Sinnott is great. I love him. I disagree. Like Thornton Einstrom, we had him on last week. He said he thought he was a mid-second. I don't think he's mid-second. I think he's probably mid-third. Mid to late third. I really like Sinnott though. So I was a huge fan of this. I think he does everything you want out of a tight end. So yeah, I'm cool with that. Round four, pick 131. You got Christian Jones, tackle from Texas. Again, I think he's more of a right tackle, but he is someone that does have experience playing on the left side. And I certainly think that if they were to get someone like him, they're going to do their absolute damnedest to make sure that they can try him out on that left side and see if he could provide some competition and even be a good backup for Awanye Morris. Plus also because he's more of a right tackle, he could be someone that could step in place of Juwan Taylor should something happen. So I like the versatility he brings. Round five, pick 159, Isaac Grindo. Halfback out of Louisville. It gave us a D-minus for that, but I love that pick there. I think if you can get him at 159, that's great, because this was a guy that had a fourth-round grade on him for a while. He's my favorite running back in this draft class, and I think there's a lot of untapped potential there. Round five, pick 173, Kalen King, cornerback, Penn State. I think he's a safety, though. C-plus grade on that. I really like what you can do with Kalen. Again, this is a guy who was an outside corner at Penn State. So he's got some experience there. He's got some experience in the slot. I think he's played a little safety as well. I think the Chiefs like that versatility there. Very similar to Tremari Connor in that, you know, Tremari Connor was a guy who played corner and safety. He's projected more as a safety at the professional level, and we saw that impact when he came in the playoffs and got a lot of playing time when Mike Edwards went out with injury. So I really like what he brings to the table there. I think you can do a lot with him. And then round seven, pick 221, Bub Means, wide receiver, Pittsburgh, gave us a B for that. So it looks like you got a good grade there at 221. Yeah, I mean, a good big
6'2", 215, yeah, long strider,
good
seventh round pick,
good size, 4.43 speed. You'll take that, man. You'll take a receiver in the seventh round with that kind of size, speed profile, you know, good production there. If you're going to receiver seventh round, you're not looking to draft your next number one receiver. You're looking to just get some depth, and hopefully this guy develops into a productive receiver. With that kind of size, speed profile, he could end up being a Justin Watson type, which, you know, if you can get a Justin Watson type in the seventh round, he could be a contributor down the field. You'll take that. So I like this. It gave us a B-minus overall for our draft. So, you know, you'll take that. But yeah, I think we did it. This is our final mock draft of the 2024 draft season. And make sure you stick with us this weekend as we go and do our draft coverage here for 610 Sports Radio. We'll be on at 6 o'clock on Thursday for the first round of the draft. We'll be live at the landing up in Liberty. Me, Bink, all the other guys from 610 will be there. We're going to have your draft coverage throughout the entire first round. Then rounds two and three on Friday, we will be back here at the studio, and we'll have you covered. So make sure you tune in all Friday night as we get the second day of the draft covered. And then on Saturday, we'll be on from 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. for day three of the NFL draft. So we'll have most of day three covered. And then at 9 o'clock on Sunday, from 9 until 11:30, me and Bink will continue the draft coverage. We're going to recap what happened at the NFL draft. And then finally, we'll do a wrap up next Monday, post that on Tuesday for the draft season. And then after that, it's time to see what these guys can do. So I know.
Time to start looking at next year.
I know, man. You know what I'm going to do as soon as I get home, when we get done on Saturday, is, you know, once the draft is done, I'm going to start looking at way too early for 2025. Yeah. Oh,
That's what you have to do.
Yeah. I'll start looking at way too earlies, and I'll start putting together a list of players to watch for in the 24 college football season. And we'll be back at it again this fall, ready to, you know, trying to get you ready for the 25 draft. So I think we did it. I think we did good today. I think we addressed. I think this is probably the most balanced mock we've done for the Chiefs thus far.
It's my favorite one. I'd be completely happy with this if this is the direction they went.
Yeah, me too. If they came out and it was this exact mock draft that we put together, yeah, I'd be all for it. So we hope to see you guys on Thursday at the Landing. If you can't be there, make sure you listen to us on 610 Sports Radio. We'll have you covered. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Ocero. Make sure you download, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk to you guys next time.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.